Hi everybody, I'm John Torrance. Welcome to our podcast channel. I know that you will be blessed by today's message.
I was so really blessed by the beautiful testimonies of the team in Mauritius. And you know, anytime you go on a missionary trip, you think Mauritius and you think, I'm just going to lie on the beach. It's not like that. It's a lot of hard work, as Pastor Wayne was saying. But what really touched me is the story of the young man on the street, you know, just giving his life to the Lord. It's precious that, you know. If the trip was all just for that one soul, it would be worth it. It's amazing, the beauty of salvation. Just recently, I came back from a ministry trip from Australia, and I was walking back. I was just by the hotel just before coming back from lunch, and I met a man, and he said to me, today you did an altar call and someone came to the service. It's my brother, and I've been praying for my brother for years. And he said to me, if your coming here to Australia was just for my brother, it would be worth it. The price of one soul, you know, you can't put a price on it. Yesterday, I was at the Hillcrest AIDS Center with a team praying and preaching in the AIDS Center, and people giving their lives to the Lord. The price of that soul. You know, we went outside and I just afterwards said to the team, let's just slow down and just thank God for what has happened, because you can't put a price on that. When someone gives their heart to Jesus, it's the beginning of a transformation, a miracle like no other. Pastor Wayne prayed for miracles just now. Miracles in your physical body. And that's what God does. He does miracles. And many of you have been healed, and you'll see the manifestation of that in the days to come. But the greatest miracle, hear me today, the greatest miracle will always, always, always be when a sinner becomes a saint. When a person says, Jesus, please be my Lord and Savior. That's the greatest miracle of all. 31 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord. I'll never forget it. In a meeting similar to this, I said, Jesus, be my Lord. A friend of mine next to me said, Mark, do you want me to walk to the front with you? I said, Rob, wild horses wouldn't keep me from the front. I'm coming to Jesus. I'm coming to Jesus. Came from a broken home. My stepfather got married 5 times. My mom was one of those 5 wives. I didn't grow up with a father, but when I heard the name of Jesus, I said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for love. I've been looking for it in all the wrong places, but I can now find it in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I gave my life to Jesus. I often say to people, I was born a disaster, but God turned me into a pastor. It's what the Lord does. He changes. Greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. I want to ask you just to stand to your feet where you are. And I want to ask you if maybe you wouldn't consider receiving this miracle today. Those of you out in Phoenix listening to my voice as well this morning, I want everyone to bow their heads and to close their eyes, and I want you to search your heart. Mankind has become very good at exploring outer space. We send rockets to the moon, but we're not so good at exploring inner space. That space within ourselves, our lives, our hearts. As you close your eyes and bow your heads, I want to ask you today, are you born again? Have you received this great gift of life? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Have you confessed Him, received Him? The Bible says in John 1 verse 12, to those who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human origin or wisdom, but born of God. You too have been destined to be born of God, to be born again. It's a choice. You receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. He doesn't love one person more than another. What He's done for me, He wants to do for you. There is destiny and purpose waiting for you. There is a life of abundance waiting for you. Right now, right here, God wants you to make a decision. It's a choice. to either accept or reject Him. You can open the door of your heart and invite Him into your life and experience the greatest gift of all, the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of salvation. You can be free from every sin you've ever committed. Everything you've ever done can be washed and cleansed. Psalm 103 verse 2 and 3 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." Not only does He heal, He also forgives. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Pastor Mark, please pray for me, because I don't want to go home the way I came in. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to do it today. I want to do it right here. I want to receive the greatest gift ever, the gift of salvation. I want to open the door of my heart and ask Jesus to be my Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, both here and in Phoenix, then just lift up your hand and say, "Yes, please pray for me, Pastor Mark. I want to give my life to Jesus." Just slip it up wherever you are. I'll see your hand and I'll pray for you. Wherever you are, slip it up. Please pray for me. I see your hand. Slip it up high. Wherever you are right now, right here in this place, on this day, right here in this auditorium, please, Jesus, save my soul. I don't want to go home the way I came in. Please, Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Please, save me. Forgive me from every sin I've ever committed. You're the only one that can do that. If you lifted your hand this morning, and even if you didn't lift your hand, but you know this is what you need, then I want to ask you to step out from where you're standing. I want to ask you to come down to the front where I am. I want to pray for you. And it's easier if you come to where I am than it is for me to go to where you are. Every person right now, you lifted your hand. You need Jesus. God bless you at the back. You need Jesus. God bless you up there in the gallery. God bless you over in Phoenix. You say, "Yes, today is my day. I'm not going to put this off for another weekend. I'm not going to procrastinate on the greatest decision of life. I'm not going to put it off for another Sunday. I'm not just going to sit here and watch others receive their gift and I go home the same way I came in. I'm not going to procrastinate anymore. Today, this is my day for the greatest miracle of all. I give my life to Jesus." God bless you. God bless you in Phoenix. Come. God bless you, ma'am, coming down the aisle. There's more of you. Come, come, we're waiting for you. Over up there in the back on my left, come, come. There's several people up there on my left. Come, come, come. The Lord Jesus is calling you. Come, give your life to Him. Come, give your life to Him. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. Keep clapping, church. People are coming in. People are coming into the kingdom of heaven. Keep clapping, church. Come. Give your life to Jesus. Come. Come, come. Give your life to Jesus. Come, come. Give your life to Jesus. Do it today. Do it right now. Come, come. Give your life to Jesus. 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 Beautiful Savior. Beautiful Savior. Beautiful Savior. I want us all to pray this prayer both here and in Phoenix. God bless you, every one of you standing in the front. Let's say these words together. Say with me, Jesus. Jesus Christ, I believe that You are God's Son and that You died for me. Jesus, I am sorry for everything I have done wrong. Please forgive me. I repent right here, right now. Jesus, I open the door of my heart and I invite You into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. Today, I give my life to You. I'll never be the same again. Jesus Christ, You are my Lord and my Savior. and I give you praise. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Can we do that? I want to ask those of you in front just to turn around for this gentleman over here. We just want to take you into a room at the back and get your name and phone number so we can follow you up. So if you've done it before, do it again. Do it again. Just go ahead. Let's put our hands together for them. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Come on, keep clapping as they walk up the aisle. God bless you, those of you in Phoenix. You've given your lives to Jesus. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. South Africa needs a move of God. 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 Unemployment, violence, poverty, corruption, load shedding, water outages, housing shortages. South Africa needs a move of God. South Africa needs a move of God. South Africa needs a move of God. And God wants to move upon South Africa. He wants to. He expressed that desire 2,600 years ago as he spoke through the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Again, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord." The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's a lot of glory. I don't know if you know, but more than 2/3 of our planet is covered in water, predominantly oceans. To be more accurate, 71% of our planet is covered in water. Only 29% is dry land made up of continents and islands like Mauritius. Wow, that's a lot of water. The oceans, the sea, on average, is 3.7 kilometers deep. In some places, as much as 11 kilometers deep. That's a lot of water. 1 cubic meter of water weighs 1,000 kilograms a ton. For every 10 meters you go underwater, the atmospheric pressure doubles. What am I saying? I'm saying to you that water is heavy. It's heavy. That's why when you have a tsunami, you get out of the way. There's nothing that can stop a tsunami. When you've got thousands and thousands of kilograms of tons of water moving at high speed, the only thing you can do is get out of the way. That's the only thing you can do. There is nothing that can stop a tsunami. You have to let it run its course. But this time God is saying something else is going to cover the earth, not water. The Hebrew word for glory is the word kabod, and it means the weight of God's presence. God's saying, just as water has weight and it weighs upon the earth, so too my presence has weight. God is saying it's not just going to be water that's going to cover the earth, but it's going to be His presence. God wants to cover South Africa with His glory. God wants to cause His glory, His presence, to come upon our land. And it's not going to be a tsunami. It's going to be a move of God. And just like you can't stop a tsunami, you won't be able to stop the move of God. God's going to move upon South Africa. God's going to move upon South Africa. God's going to move upon South Africa. You won't be able to stop it. Corruption will be uprooted. Poverty will be broken. Violence will be stopped. Unemployment will come to an end. The lights will come on, the water will flow, and everyone will have a roof over their head. God's going to move by His Spirit and His power. For the earth, for South Africa, will be filled with the knowledge. For South Africa will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What does that look like when the glory of the Lord covers South Africa? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1 to 3. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good, His love endures forever. The priests couldn't go about their normal duty. The people couldn't go about their normal activities because the glory of the Lord had come. When a tsunami comes to town, it's not business as usual the next day. Everything changes. When the glory of the Lord comes upon the earth, things change. The power to change is in the glory of God visiting a nation. God wants to visit South Africa with His glory. God wants to visit South Africa and fill this nation with His glory as the waters cover the sea. God wants the kabod, the weight of His presence, to come down upon our land. And when that happens, everything will change. Corruption will be uplifted. Poverty will be broken. Violence will stop. Unemployment will come to an end. The lights will come on. The water will flow. And everyone will have a roof over their head. It's a good prayer for you to pray. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. And to say, Lord, let your glory, let your glory, let your glory, let your glory come upon our land, come upon South Africa. Because when the glory of God comes, like a holy tsunami, nothing can stand in its way, and it will change everything. So don't give up hope, South Africa. Pray for a visitation of God, because like a holy tsunami, when the glory of God touches down, things are going to change. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now I know this is not a new revelation, but the light over there was not the sun, because the sun was only created on day 4. So what lit up the earth for the first 3 days of creation? What could possibly compare to the sun? The sun is huge. You can fit 1.3 million Earths into the sun. Does someone hear that? You can fit 1.3 million Earths into the sun. The sun is huge. The sun is hot at its core. It's 15 million degrees Celsius. And the sun is perfectly positioned 150 million kilometers from the earth. Any closer and the earth would burn. Any further away and the earth would freeze. What could possibly compare to the size, the heat, and the exact positioning of the sun? What lit up the earth for the first 3 days? And I'm here to say to you, it was the glory of God. It was the glory of God. It was the glory of God. God did it once. He visited the earth with His glory. He's going to do it again. South Africa, get ready for a visitation of the glory of the Lord. The Bible says the earth was dark, the earth was formless, the earth was empty, but God was about to bring change. What's the first thing He does? Is He brings His glory, because that's how things change. When the holy tsunami of God's glory hits the earth, everything is going to change. Dark, formless, empty. When the glory of God was there 6 days later, we have sun, moon, stars. We have trees, we have fruit, we have plants, we have flowers, we have grass. We have hippopotamus, giraffe, lions, jaguar, leopards. We have whales, sharks, dolphins, swordfish. We have mountains, we have valleys, we have lakes. The beauty of creation. Out of the glory of God came the miracle of creation. When the glory of God comes, everything changes. When the glory of God comes, everything changes. Darkness, formless, empty. But then the glory of God. And 6 days later, you have the beauty of creation. Out of the glory of God comes the miracle of creation. When the glory of God hits this earth and hits South Africa, corruption is going to be uprooted. Violence is going to come to an end. Poverty is going to be broken. Unemployment will be no more. The lights will come on, the water will flow, and everyone will have a roof over their head. Because of the glory of God. The glory of God, the greatest prayer you can pray. Habakkuk 2 verse 14, Father, let your glory come upon South Africa as the waters cover the sea. Let there be a holy tsunami as it was in the beginning, Lord, when you came upon the earth and for the first 3 days lit it up with your glory. Light up South Africa again with your glory. The glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. What about Acts chapter 26? It's the story of a man by the name of Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he's talking to King Agrippa. And he says to the king, this is the life that I used to live. I used to be a Pharisee and I was advancing in the ranks of being a Pharisee. And I would arrest Christians and I would persecute Christians and I would even consent to them being put to death. And O king, one day, Acts 26 verse 13 and 14, I was on my way to Damascus to do the same thing. To arrest Christians and persecute them. But he says, O king, there was a bright light that blazed around us. And he says, O king, this light was brighter than the sun. Everyone say, brighter than the sun. Are you starting to get the picture? It's the same light that was there in the beginning. It's brighter than the sun. Even though the sun is so big, so hot, and so perfectly positioned, the glory of the God. And so Paul says this light blazed around us. We all fell to the ground. Why? Because the glory of God is heavy. They were struck to the ground. The man is blind. He stays blind for 3 days. He doesn't eat or drink for 3 days. Talk about change. This is the Saul. This is the man who was a murderer. After 3 days, someone puts his hands upon him, prays for him, his eyes open, he gets baptized, he gets led by the Spirit into the desert of Arabia. For 3 years, he studies the Word of God, the Holy Spirit opens up the Scriptures. Then he comes back to Damascus, the very place where he was going to arrest Christians, and he starts preaching the Word of God. All the people know is the man that came to persecute us is now preaching the same Word that he was standing against. Out of the glory of God comes the miracle of salvation. How can a man's life be changed like that? How can a person's life be changed like that, I say to you? How can God take someone like me from a broken home, addicted to alcohol and marijuana, my own mother putting cannabis in the cake that she bakes for tea for the guests that come along? How can I, out of that house, how can this happen? The glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. When the glory of God comes upon the land, everything changes. Out of the glory of God comes the miracle of creation. Out of the glory of God comes the miracle of salvation. When the glory of God comes upon South Africa, hallelujah, corruption will be uprooted. Poverty will be broken. Violence will be stopped. Unemployment will be no more. Say to your neighbor, the lights will come on. The water will flow. And everyone will have a roof over their head. It's the glory of God. It's the glory of God. It's the glory of God. Come, Abba Father. Come, Abba Father. And let your glory come upon our land as the waters cover the sea. What about Acts chapter 12? The story of a man called Peter. And he's in prison. He's on death row. He's been guarded by four squads of four soldiers. That's 16 soldiers. At this particular point in time, Acts 12, verse 6 and 7, there's two soldiers outside the door and there's two in the cell with him. I mean, I've never had anyone being guarded like that before. He's bound with two chains inside the prison cell and he's got a guard on either side of him and two guards at the door. Bump your neighbor and say, that's heavily guarded. But the Bible says in verse 6 and 7 that a light shone in the cell. Are you getting me? I think at this point you realize that was not Peter's cell phone. Amen. Bump your neighbor and say, that was not Peter's cell phone. A light shone in the cell. And if you're tracking with me by now, you realize it's the same light that shone in Genesis chapter 1. And it's the same light that shone on the road to Damascus in Acts 26. It's the glory of God. In the midst of that light, an angel steps out. wakes Peter up, the chains just fall off him. And he begins to walk out of this heavily guarded prison. And when they come to the gates that lead to the city, the gates open by themselves. Out of the glory of God comes the miracle of liberation. The miracle of liberation. Out of the glory of God comes the miracle of creation. Out of the glory of God comes the miracle of salvation. Out of the glory of God comes the miracle of liberation. When the glory of God comes upon South Africa, corruption will be uprooted, violence will stop, poverty will be broken, unemployment will be something of part of the past, the lights will come on, the water will flow, and everyone will have a roof over their head. Father, let your glory come. Visit South Africa. Visit South Africa. Let your glory cover this land like the waters cover the sea. But here's the deal. If you want to see change, you must be willing to change. If you want to see the move of God, you must be willing to move with God. The move of God will bring change, but it will require you to change. And that's where we get stuck. Because as people, we struggle with change. Scientists call it inertia, the natural reluctance of a body to change its state from rest or uniform motion. My science teacher will be proud of me. We struggle with change. Amen? And if we want to see a move of God, we must move with God. When the move of God came down on the early church, Acts chapter 2, it was a move of God. That service was unlike any other service they'd ever had. Acts chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. There was a different sound. They heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. The sound was different. The look was different. There was a different look. There was tongues of fire that came upon everyone. Sound was different. The look was different. The manifestation of God was different. People were speaking in tongues. They'd never done that before. Are you tracking with me? It was different. If you want to see the move of God, you must be prepared to move with God. If you want to see change, you must be willing to change. When the move of God came upon the early church, there was a different sound, a different look, a different manifestation. But yet some people still wanted it to be like it was. They wanted to go back to the temple. And even today, the Jewish people want to rebuild the third temple and go back to animal sacrifices. And Peter had to say, no, the prophet Joel said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. Things are going to change. If you want to see the move of God, you must be willing to move with God. Moments later in the early church, 3,000 people got saved. It was a different sound. It was a different look. It was a different manifestation. And so many people got saved. They've never seen so many people. 3,000 joined the church in one altar call. That had never happened before. When the move of God comes upon South Africa, this church is going to be different. Bump your neighbor and say, get ready for change. Number one, it'll be fuller. You may not be able to sit in your seat. I've been here a couple of Sundays and I watch some of you, you have your seat. You don't anyone mess with my seat. Well, when the move of God comes, you may not get your seat. You may not get a seat at all. You may have to stand and give up your seat. And when that happens, don't stand there and say, oh, I wish things were the way they were before. I can't even sit down anymore. Are you with me? God's going to move, brother. But don't you go be looking at the past. When the move of God hits, the services are going to be different as it was in the first church. Different sound, different look, different manifestation, multitudes of people getting saved. You may not get your seat. You may not get your parking spot. I've seen some of you have the same place you park every Sunday. When the move of God comes, you may not have that parking spot. You may not have any parking spot. You may have to park up the road somewhere and walk here. And when that happens and you're walking, don't you go saying, oh, I wish things were the way they were before. When I could park right by the entrance and have the usher open the door for me and I could just walk straight in like that. Where are those days? They're gone. It's a move of God. It's a holy tsunami. You're parking down there at the bottom and you're walking. Are you ready? If you want to see a move of God, you must move with God. Amen. You may have to wait in line before you can go to the bathroom. The line for the bathroom may be so long. Some of you might say, I'm not going to the bathroom. You realize you got to go to the bathroom at home before you get here because the line's so long. When you stand in that line, don't be saying, oh, I wish it was the way it used to be because I could just go to the bathroom anytime I want. No, it's the move of God. Things are changing. If you want to see a move of God, you must be willing to move with God. If you want to see change, you must be willing to change. Not only will the services be fuller, the services will be louder. There'll be a whole lot of people in here, they don't know your church protocol. All they know is the altar call. They don't know your songs. They don't know when to clap, when not to clap. They're just so excited they're saved. Amen. While the preacher's preaching, they're going, hallelujah. And you're like, whoa, what happened now? Whoa. One of them might bring a tambourine and just start beating the tambourine because they're so excited. It's going to be louder, brother. And when that happens, don't you go saying, oh, I wish it was the way it used to be before because this sister with the tambourine and this brother, this hallelujah brother, gives me a fright every time he does that. It's the move of God. It's going to be different. Church is going to be fuller. Church is going to be louder. Church is going to be longer. Everyone say longer. We may not finish an hour and a half or 2 hours. Brother, you may want to go home, but there's a whole lot of people that just carry on worshiping here. And you'll be looking at your watch and saying, we've been here 3 hours. Looking at your wife, 3 hours. The turkey's overcooked. The carrots have gone into mush. What's going on? It's a move of God, sister. We may not get out of here before 5 o'clock. Things are going to change. But if you want to see change, you got to be willing to change. If you want to see a move of God, you must be willing to move with God. Problem with the church is we say, move God, move. And when he moves, we want to go back to the temple, back to the way it was before. How willing are you to move with God? Things are going to be different. You're not used to coming to church on Monday. When the move of God comes, you may be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You'll be looking at your wife, what's going on? It's a move of God, brother. It's church every night. There's people everywhere. Amen. There's a long line for the toilet. Everything's different. I haven't sat in my seat for the last month. What's going on? It's a move of God. Amen. Services will be fuller, louder, longer, more frequent. Everything will change. But if you want to see change, you must be willing to change. God wants to move. How ready is the church? How ready is the church? What would we have to give up for God to move? Are we willing to give it up? Jesus said in Luke 5, verse 37 and 38, you can't put new wine into old wineskins because the old wineskin doesn't want to move. The wineskin is you. The new wine is the move of God. If you put new wine, which still wants to breathe, into an old wineskin, the wineskin breaks. Move of God, if you're not ready, can hurt you. So before you pray, Lord, come, because South Africa needs a move, make sure that you're ready to move with God. Because brother, he's going to move. And things are going to be different. The church may sound different. It may look different. There may be a different manifestation. There may be so many people that we have 8 services on a Sunday. Brother, and you're just like in the crowd over here, and it's just everything's changed, but God's moving. In the middle of all of that, corruption is being uprooted. Poverty is being broken. Violence is being stopped. Unemployment is no more. The lights are on, the water's flowing, and everyone's got a roof. So don't hang on to your chair when God moves. Give it up gladly, because South Africa needs a move of God. We need God to move. We need God to move. I can't hold on to all those things because God needs to move in my land. Tell your neighbor, God needs to move. South Africa needs a move of God. South Africa needs a move of God. Isaiah 60, I close with this. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you, DCC, and his glory appears over you, DCC. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. That means this church will grow. This church will grow. It's going to get fuller. Get ready. Tell your neighbor, you may not be able to sit where you're sitting. Lift up your eyes and look about you, all assemble, and come to your sons, come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Speaks of family salvation. The glory of God comes. The church will be full. Your family will be saved. And goes on to say, then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Speaks of favor and prosperity. There'll be an increase of that. Go to verse 18. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders. Violence will come to an end. And the glory of God comes. The church will be full. Your family will be saved. Favor and prosperity will be upon you. Violence will stop. The move of God, the holy tsunami has come. All you have to do is move with it. Verse 19, the sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. 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 South Africa needs a move of God. South Africa needs a move of God. South Africa needs a move of God. Stand with me to your feet this morning. South Africa, beautiful South Africa, needs a move of God. There's no man that can sort out the problems in our land. Hear me now. There's no man or woman that can sort out the problems in our land. Problems are too deep. They go back too far. They're entrenched through many generations. It's not a simple solution. But a move of God changes Saul to Paul. But a move of God changes dark, empty, formless into creation. But a move of God gets a heavily guarded prisoner out of prison. Nobody knows how he got out. What South Africa needs is a move of God. A move of God. Hold hands with the person next to you. Precious Abba Father, we pray according to your word in Habakkuk 2 and verse 14. You said, Lord, that the glory of the Lord would fill South Africa as the waters cover the sea. We pray, Father, that the weight of your presence would come upon our land, South Africa, from Alexander Bay to Cozy Bay, from Limpopo to Cape Town. Come, Abba Father, and flood our land with your glory. Our problems are too deep and too wide for any man or woman to sort out. We recognize that out of the glory comes the miracle of creation. Out of the glory comes the miracle of salvation. Out of the glory comes the miracle of liberation. And today we come to say, Father, please let your glory come. Settle upon our land as the waters cover the sea. Do according to what you said 2,600 years ago. Visit South Africa. Let corruption be uprooted. Let poverty be broken. Let violence stop. Let unemployment cease. Let the lights come on. Let the water flow. And let every man and woman have a roof over their head. Let your glory come. Visit South Africa. Visit South Africa. Visit South Africa. As a church, we want to see a move of God. And as a church, we're willing to move with God. We'll give up our seat. We'll give up our parking spot. We'll stand in line for the toilet. Abba Father, we'll let the services go longer. We'll come back on Monday. We know there'll be a different sound, a different look, a different manifestation, but we're prepared for it, Lord. We're prepared for it. Come, Father, move upon this church and move upon the land of South Africa. We'll not let this land be taken by the devil. We'll not let this land be taken by the devil. We say, devil, take your filthy hands off the nation of South Africa. You are not welcome here. Devil, a praying church stands against you. Devil, we command you, take your filthy hands off South Africa. A praying church calls upon the name of our Father, the name of the Son, Jesus. We pray by the power of the Holy Spirit for a move of God upon our land. You're not welcome here, devil. We will not go the way of other nations. This land shall be saved. South Africa shall be born again. A move of God shall come upon our land. South Africa shall be saved. South Africa shall be saved. South Africa shall be saved. In the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Oh, hallelujah. You don't need to buy your ticket to Australia. You don't need to buy your ticket and emigrate to America. Come on, keep clapping. You stay right where you are. Habakkuk 2 verse 14. A move of God is coming. A move of God is coming. You don't need to leave. Others will come back because of what they'll see happening in our land. South Africa will be great again. South Africa will be beautiful again. South Africa will be restored. This is our year of Jubilee, not just personally, but nationally. Everything that's been taken will come back to our land with interest. Come on, give God praise one more time. Come on, give Him praise. We love you, Jesus. If you believe it, give God praise. If you believe it, give God praise. Come on, stamp your feet. Clap your hands. You're in the house of God. You're a child of God. My God, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His hand is upon you. His hand is upon our nation. My Jesus, I'm not going anywhere. I'm ready to see the move of God. God will change our land. God will do it. He and He alone. High five two or three people and say, God's in control. High five two or three people and say, God's in control. Come on, one more time. Let's give it up for our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. God bless you, DCC. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless this beautiful land, South Africa. Come on, let's put our hands together.
We trust you enjoyed this message. To stay connected to Durban Christian Center, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and download our DCC Church app. Hop onto our website for any information you might need about the Durban Christian Center. If you are in Durban, South Africa, we would absolutely love for you to join us at our Sunday morning services at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. You can find us at 39 Garth Road, Mabel. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you. Bye-bye.